Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. The boys behind the glass were all holding up the four during the break. We're into hour four of, I think, the first ever Junks one-man show.
Yeah, fourth quarter.
Put those fours up, boys. Thank you guys again for helping get through this one-man show. It's much appreciated. Hope JP gets better soon. I'm not sure who's in on Monday. There's a big, massive snowstorm that's being called for Monday, but somebody will be here. Is the bottom line. That's the way this works. All right, Scott Abraham, anchor and sports director for ABC7, is now joining us. Scott, good morning.
Cakes, how you holding up, big guy?
I'm doing good, man. Doing all right. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
So, man.
Obviously, you're following this team as you have been throughout the entire season. Before we talk about this game upcoming and what's going on with Cliff, just give us the vibe check on how much different it is for you and the other members of the media with Dan Quinn in charge, Adam Peters there, the Harris ownership group, how different it is from the end of the Snyder tenure and era here that you obviously covered as well.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun going there every Wednesday and Thursday during the week, especially in December and now in January, to know that there's meaningful football, like there's meaningful football games being played. And that hasn't been the case year after year with the Rivera era. And just to see the players reinvigorated and knowing what's on the line, like you think of the Terry McLaurins, you think of the Jeremy Reeves and the Sam Cosmes that have been through kind of really the dark days, and to see them get the opportunity and get the chance to play some serious football games. They've been a lot of fun to talk to, and they're much more open and willing and engaging. It makes our job easier, and just kind of the culture, the tone, and the professionalism in that building now is such a big change from years past.
You mentioned Reeves. Very cool that he set up the proposal to his longtime girlfriend there at Northwest Stadium. I'm guessing everybody was basically taken by surprise by that unfolding at the end of the Atlanta game, correct?
Yeah, I talked to Revo after the game, and because I was curious, like, would you have proposed if you lost? And he was like, no, dude, no, there's no chance I was going to propose if we lost the game. So it was like a perfect storm. Like, he knew he was going to do it if they beat Atlanta. And he kind of walked me through it in terms of, you know, his now fiance was in the stands and he had to get security to kind of carry her down onto the field. And he had one of Commander's media personnel holding his ring the entire game. And he had it all planned out, and he was wearing hand warmers around his waist in 60-degree weather to kind of hide the ring when she came down. So it was well planned out, and it was a great moment, certainly for Revo and for his now fiance. And what a day for Revo, because you win a football game to to make the playoffs, and now you get engaged. So it was awesome.
So, Scott, I'm on your Twitter, at Scott7News. This is from yesterday. So the big story over the past few days has been Cliff Kingsbury. Is he going to be here after just the 1 year? Because he's going to be a hot commodity out on the coaching market. This offense has been buzzing all season long. Top five in the league in scoring at almost 29 points per game. He said, his quote is, at some point he wants to be an NFL head coach again. What is the sense that you're getting as far as, is Cliff going to be here past this year, or do you think he is attracted by one of these head coaching jobs this offseason cycle?
Listen, I think he's going to be selective, and he has the right to be selective. You know, he's been through it already as a head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. He knows what type of situation he wants to get himself into. And what I really appreciated about Cliff's back and forth with Sam Forty of the Washington Post during the press conferences, he said he fell in love with football again. He fell in love with the game again coming here to Washington. And this was a perfect restart for him to kind of get his footing and figure out what path and what he wants to do in this sport. And he deserves a second chance. I'm a believer in second chances in any walk of life. And it didn't work out in Arizona, but he's come here to Washington and done a phenomenal job with the offense, with a young rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. He's going to get opportunities. He's going to get interviews. It's going to be up to Cliff to figure out, you know, if he gets offered the job, if it's the right situation for him. Fallback plan here in Washington, not a bad fallback plan where you have a year number two in Jaden Daniels. You're probably going to get more pieces on the offense. Mm-hmm. So Cliff Kingsbury's in a great position, and he's still getting paid by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that. Like you said, yeah, that he can and should be selective. Like, if he's already getting paid like a head coach, like, why would you jump at something right. That's suboptimal? Yep. Like, he can kind of be like Ben Johnson in Detroit, where Ben Johnson, he has his basically pick of whatever NFL job he wants, but he's thriving in that ecosystem in Detroit. And if, like as you mentioned, if there are more pieces and better talent brought in around Jaden Daniels and around who you already have, and you're filtering out some of these one-year kind of cast-off guys, these late training camp pickup guys, like, if I were Cliff, I'd be intrigued by what I could do in year two here in Washington.
Absolutely. But I also look at, you know, let's say, like, the Chicago Bears job, you know, that's opened up. He obviously has a relationship with Caleb Williams, you know, the quarterback there in Chicago. How intriguing is that position to Cliff working with a Caleb? Cliff's not going to leave this situation with Jaden to another team with a quarterback situation in flux where there's a question mark at the quarterback. That's not going to make any sense for Cliff Kingsbury to kind of do a reclamation project with a franchise that doesn't really have an established quarterback. Chicago might be a really good situation for Cliff because of his relationship with Caleb. You know, they worked together at USC for a year. So I'll be curious what other jobs pop up. Maybe Miami if they kind of part ways with Mike McDaniel. I don't know what's going to happen there. But there's some jobs, maybe the Cowboys. Who knows? But I think a young quarterback like a Caleb Williams where he can grow together might be intriguing for Cliff. But like you said, it's a pretty good situation here in Washington with Jaden Daniels because it's only up from here, right? I can't see this team regressing where, you know, you're going to be able to get free agents that want to come here, want to play for Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. They're going to want to be a part of Jaden Daniels and his ascension in the NFL. So I think this is going to be a great situation going forward. And obviously Commanders fans and the coaching staff and the regime here would love to have Cliff Kingsbury return for another year.
So Scott, for the first time in 33 years, Washington is sending their quarterback and wideout combo to the Pro Bowl as Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin get voted in there. And look, I'm happy for Jaden, but you're especially happy for Terry McLaurin, who's dealt with nothing but a revolving door of poor quarterback play since he's been in Washington. And now he finally has that franchise signal caller in Jaden. And he's just got to be looking at the rest of his career like, oh my God, I've got a stud throwing me the ball now, you know, from age 29 until however long I want to play with him. Like, you just feel great for Terry McLaurin. And we're really seeing his potential become unlocked with Jaden Daniels under center.
Listen, he's earned every bit of it because this dude has gone through the ringer with the number of quarterbacks that he's had to deal with, the dysfunction of this franchise, and he's such a good dude, Cakes. Like, outside of the lines of outside the football field, just what he does in the community, how he handles himself, the professionalism he handles himself with the media members, he is a class act individual, and to see him get the accolades and to see him have such a banner season, so well deserved because he works his butt off. Remember, I mean, not much was expected from Terry McLaurin when he was drafted here to Washington. He was going to be maybe a special teams player, and to see him, you know, kind of rise up to the player that he is today has been incredible. I actually talked to Urban Meyer last month because we were doing some conference together, and I was just picking his brain about Terry McLaurin. And, you know, he wasn't highly recruited. He was very low on the depth chart, and he just kept working and working at Ohio State, and he became an integral part of the Buckeyes. So all he does is work, and to have him paired up with Jaden Daniels now for many years to come, and let's hope Washington somehow finds a way to get a quality number two receiver from free agency. That's only going to help Terry McLaurin, because obviously defenses are keying on Terry, making sure they limit his touches, but you bring in a true number two receiver, that's only going to help Terry and the offense as a whole.
Scott, what is your best guess as to how Dan Quinn approaches Sunday's game against the Cowboys? Just a few days ago, people were like, is Dan Campbell going to play his starters in a meaningless game against the Niners? Because everything comes down to the Lions-Vikings game. And he put the pedal down. He played his starters throughout. Goff was in there. Jahmyr Gibbs was in for the entire game. Jameson Williams. Those guys were all playing and played throughout. It wasn't like just trot them out for a quarter to get, you know, to get them some work. They played the whole game. Do you see Dan Quinn doing that with obviously the non-injured players that are going to be out there on Sunday?
They're going to win this football game, Cakes, and they want that sixth seed. They want a chance to maybe host an NFC championship game if, you know, everything falls into place, which is going to be hard to do. But if they're the sixth seed, yes, there's a chance they could host the NFC championship game. They want to go into the playoffs with that positive momentum. They want to continue, you know, in a sense, running the table here these final weeks of the season. It's been a great run from beating New Orleans to beating Philly, Atlanta, and now they want to end the note against a divisional opponent with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think there's some situations they really want to work on. Number one, running the football, right? You can't just totally rely on Jaden Daniels and his legs. Get Brian Robinson Jr. going here. Run between the tackles. Show that physicality at the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the football against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's see what they can do against the Cowboys. And number two, defensively, stopping the run. You have to stop the run in the playoffs. Joe Witt Jr., the defensive coordinator for the Commanders, he's not pleased with his run defense. He made that known during his press conference this week. He wants to see improvement there because running the football is such a crucial layer come playoff time. So running the football, stopping the run, two layers you should watch come Sunday because those are two elements they have to work on, get better come playoff time.
Hey, Scott, behind closed doors, do you think the front office is surprised by the fact that Marshon Lattimore has missed so much time since he was acquired in the trade with the Saints?
Pure speculation, I would say yes, because, you know, I think they brought him in, you know, knowing the contract situation. Yes, he's going to be here next year, but he was supposed to be a guy that really helps this playoff push some playoff time. I don't know he's going to be 100% for a playoff game, Cakes. I mean, that hamstring is just bothering him. He can't stay healthy, and it's a lingering issue. So I think, you know, when Peters acquired him, the expectation was probably to get him on the field in a couple of weeks when they acquired him, and it just hasn't worked out so far. Hamstring, soft tissue injuries, you know, they're tricky. And once you get one and you come back too soon or you do a wrong movement, you can re-aggravate it very quickly. And I think that's what's happened here with Marshon Lattimore. Certainly you'd love to have him on the field, but I don't think they're going to put him out there as, you know, if he's not 100% or if he's going to be a liability. I don't think he's going to play against Dallas. I think there might be a chance, you know, he comes back to the playoffs and see what he can do. But, you know, he played a little bit against the Saints, didn't last long against the Eagles. So I'm not confident that he's going to make an impact this year. That's where I'm at with the Marshon Lattimore situation.
Does Scott Abraham have a preference for the Commanders' first-round playoff opponent? Do you have somebody you want them to face?
Yeah, you guys asked me this last week, and I think they were surprised at my answer. Like, I'm not scared of Philadelphia. I know there's some fans, and I know there's some media members that would love to go to L.A. and try their luck with the Rams. Tampa, get a rematch of them from week one. But I like the familiarity with the Eagles. And then, you know, NFC East, physical, hard-nosed, cold weather football game in January. Line it up and let's see who the best team is. They were winning into the fourth quarter of that first game in Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts was playing. Everybody was playing for Philadelphia. they can go toe-to-toe with this team. You're going to have to beat a Philly. You're going to have to beat a Detroit or a Minnesota down the line anyway. So I'm not afraid of the Eagles. So I would like another – I wouldn't mind seeing Philly and Washington one more time in the wild card round in the playoffs. I think, you know, Dan Quinn knows, you know, what they're going to do. The Eagles know what we're going to do. It would just be a good football game, in my opinion. So they don't scare me. And I would probably go with the Eagles, my friend.
Scott, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon. That's Scott Abraham.
All right, anchor. Take care, Keith.
Thank you, man. Anchor and sports director for ABC7. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Scott7News. When we come back, we'll preview Commanders and Cowboys, give our official predictions, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Caps take on Montreal. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets. We'll be right back. So today's one-man junk show, it's like the hockey equivalent of, we just killed off like a major penalty two men down, I think. Or we're on the precipice of doing that. That's kind of the situation here.
Not only did you kill the penalty, I think we got a shorthanded goal out of
this. Oh, really? Look, I'll take that.
Hockey drab.
Yeah. I like that extra tip in.
Yeah.
A cherry on top. Very good.
Hey, props to Cakes. Cakes is killing it today.
Yeah.
You guys are.
I mean, he's doing phenomenal.
It's a group effort. I'm certainly not doing this by myself. This is a collective unit.
And we still have two more segments to screw it up.
That's right. We could this thing could all erupt into a giant fireball. You never know. But it's time now for Chasing 895. Alex Ovechkin scored his 871st NHL goal Thursday against the Minnesota Wild, moving him within 24 goals of breaking Wayne Gretzky's record of 894. Ovi scored a power play goal, his 18th of the season, with a wrister through traffic from above the left circle to tie the game at twos. It was Ovechkin's 28th goal against Marc-Andre Fleury, his most against any goalie.
To Chychrun, left side. Fired it back in. Race for the puck to your corner. Chychrun remained on the power play one. McMichael was bumped down. Here is Ovechkin shooting. He scores! It's a power play goal for Alex Ovechkin. His 18th of the year. Goal 871 of his career. It's tied 2-2. Washington and Minnesota.
John Walton with the call there, as always. Chasing 895 is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Had to give a quick thank you to listener Peter, who dropped by. He heard our duress call as far as breakfast was concerned, that we were shorthanded here, that we were running a skeleton crew here on the fan this morning. So he brought by some Chick-fil-A. It wasn't a waffle maker or an omelet guy, but we do appreciate it. So thank you to Peter for doing that on short notice. 800-636-1067 is the number, the MGM National Harbor listener line. We said calls are more than welcome throughout today's show. Let's go to Edwin first. He's been holding on for, looks like, at least half an hour or so. Edwin, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, Case. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year, man. You're killing it on the
thank you. Is this Edwin, the tennis aficionado?
Yes, it is.
Very,
yes, it is.
Very good. Look at that memory. Memory like an elephant over here, Valdez. What's up, Edwin?
I'm doing all right, man. I've been frustrated, like, in the last few weeks. Because there's this quality we have as a fan base, the Redskins fan base, man. We always have this obsession with chasing the past. We never look to the future. It's always chasing the past. It's so frustrating at this point. We're doing this thing with RFK again, you know. And it's like everybody's getting whipped up into a frenzy, you know, about the land going for the stadium there again. I don't think it's going to be as good as people are thinking it's going to be, you know. So I wanted to make a point about, one, why I think D.C. is a lesser option, and two, why we should stay in Maryland. So, first, I think D.C. they need legislative approval, you know, for the land, mm-hmm. for development, all that stuff. That takes time. That's not even a guarantee. So we're waiting indefinitely for an indefinite result, you know. Then, they already have all this money going to Capital One. They've promised Leonsis, who knows how much, for, like, the development of the arena itself, and then the area around it. So they're not going to just willingly give up a lot of money. It's going to be a back and forth, you know, and the team has to wait for all that to happen before it proceeds with the stadium. And then DC is going to make demands of the space as well, you know. They'll need that. They'll have to take away.
Edwin, let me stop you. Edwin, let me stop you.
Right.
Can't you just enjoy the 11 win season, the playoff run? Why are you worrying about RFK? Why are you obsessing about it? What does it matter?
Because they should stay in Maryland, man. Like, let's do something new in Maryland. The stadium there, I mean...
What are you on, Westmore's payroll? What's going on?
Hey, Edwin has Maryland pride.
Yeah, he does. He loves the Commanders' possibility of staying in Maryland. Like, I
let it be the house that Jaden built, you know, right there beside on the same property, just a new stadium.
Edwin, if they can build it on Mars, then it'll be the house that Jaden built. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Thank you, Edwin, for the call. We appreciate it.
Does everyone understand that nostalgia sells?
It's all about people have the feels from what RFK was like during the glory days. To a degree, I kind of think
Edwin is onto something.
Okay.
Because I'm a Northern Virginia, put it in my backyard kind of guy.
Okay.
I want to ride my bicycle to the stadium. If you tell me the Commander's name doesn't matter and winning is the only thing that matters, then you can't tell me RFK matters. Because to me, they're the same thing.
Right.
The only reason most people want it as RFK is because that's where John Riggins used to score a lot of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as the Commander's name.
Right.
If winning's the only thing that matters, then put the stadium wherever.
I'm with you. I'm team put the stadium wherever you want it. Like... They're going to put the stadium where they get the best deal to put the stadium. I've got an update for you. When you plunk down $6+ billion to buy the team, you're going to look for the best deal of where the stadium is going to get erected.
Edwin might be jealous and have property near Landover.
Is that what it is?
Could be.
He wants his property values to go up? I don't know. I don't understand his weird obsession.
Well, I know he doesn't want it because doesn't he live in Olney?
I don't know if he lives in Olney. I know he won a tennis title in Olney.
Yeah. Cakes doesn't want the stadium in Olney.
I'd be fine with it in my backyard. I mean, the traffic there already sucks. It would just be worse 8 or 10 times out of the year. Big deal. I'd get over it. All right, let's go to Lyle. He's on line one. Lyle, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, Cakes.
What's up, Lyle?
Good morning. Hey, you're doing a great job with the one-man show. Here's the question. When the next contract comes up and you realize you can pull off the one-man show.
Well, hold on. Let me pump the brakes. Hold on. Matt and Mike Marr, they've all been integral in making this happen. It's not me just talking.
That's true.
So it's not just me, but thank you.
That's true. The boys have been great, too.
Yep.
So, but now that you know you can do that, when the next contract comes up, do you ax them all and just turn it into the sports junkie?
Or do you
just ax one of them? Like, you know, you pick the one that left you high and dry today, or the one that's going to drive up your dental insurance because of all the claims last year?
That's a funny thing.
Or the one that's always on vacation.
That made me laugh about the dental insurance making things go up. Thank you, Lyle, for the call. I do appreciate it. Look, we've said for 25 plus years, we know that by ourselves, there's nothing special there. But you put the four of us together, that's where the special thing happens. That's the secret sauce. Yeah, that's what we've been doing for almost 30 years. There's no agendas from anybody that are like, well, I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. Everybody knows it's the group, the collective, that makes this whole thing work. There you have it.
It's very diplomatic of you, Cakes.
That's the way I think all of us think. I don't think that's even diplomacy. I think it's really the way everybody thinks about this thing known as the Junks. All right, let's go to Joe from Manassas. Oh, I do like the subject line here. Joe, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Cakes? Hey, you're killing it today, man.
Thanks,
Joe. You're crushing it.
Thank you, man.
Hey, Vabiz, what's up, Bo? Hey, so anyway, so I just wanted to call and talk about how Drabby is power tripping. Banning people from the radio and calling in. He banned me for 3 months for telling him that Pete Rose belonged in the Hall of Fame. Dude, he literally told me He literally told me he knows more about baseball in his pinky than I do. I was literally drafted by the
baseball
Rangers.
Grab.
I was literally drafted by the Texas Rangers out of high school, and I got this man banning me for 3 months to tell me I don't know anything about baseball and get off the phone. Like, this guy's so – he's lost his mind.
That's because you called me an idiot, not because you – just because you pitch four innings for the Frisco Cowboys doesn't mean you're an baseball expert either.
Moron!
Well – what makes you the expert? That's what I was wondering.
I know.
What's your credential?
I know a little about a lot.
Yeah. Reddit. That's it. Right.
Hold on. Drab got in his feels over a Hall of Fame argument.
Yeah, that's weird.
Dude, he went so hard on me, bro. He said, you're not allowed to call into December 3rd. You talk Pete Rose. He said, what about Ichiro? I was like, just get out of Seattle. Get your soul.
I don't even remember his argument. All I remember is Joe Conning.
I know, so long ago. You banned me so long ago, you forgot it even existed. Yeah. 3 months.
Hey, did Joe mark this on his calendar when he could call back?
Yeah, I don't know. How's Drab keeping all the bannings?
I set a date. Yeah. I set a reminder on my phone to just call and ridicule Drab because he's power tripping. hey, Keks, good job today. And Drabby, I love you as always.
Thank you, Joe.
You guys have a great weekend,
Thank
boys.
Thank you, Joe, from the Frisco Cowboys. Or whatever. I did like that zing from Drab. It did make me chuckle.
Hey, how does Drab make these suspensions?
I don't know.
Why does Joe get 3 months and then Mo gets 2 weeks? Is this just arbitrary?
And you only suspend guys whose name has an O in it. Joe, Mo. Yeah. Is there a pattern here?
Well, that was just a major penalty by Joe. I mean, he said, Drab, you're an effing idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
He was screaming at me. And it was the wrong day to call me that.
Yeah.
You'd had enough. Every time Joe calls in, he's screaming at me.
Yeah.
It was a bad day.
Right.
Probably the Seahawks probably lost or something.
The frustration had been mounting. Yeah. You just gave it to him both barrels, as you should.
Again, I'm the keeper of the gate.
You are. People have to curry favor with one Drab t-shirt when they call in.
I don't tell Valdez what rejoinder songs to play.
No, I did that today, and he's done a bang-up job of it. Nothing but hair metal and heavy metal throughout the show. I do appreciate that.
Of course.
All right, I did tell the listeners to keep listening, because now is your chance to call in. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to see the Capitals Friday, January 10th, as they take on Montreal. For the complete Capitals schedule and ticket info, go to thefandc.com. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to win. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5. He'll tell you what to see at the movies this weekend. So the one-man show has been pretty good for my Venmo, Valdez. Richard Smith gave me $12 for post-show Miller Lights. Well-deserved. And Trey Messiah gave me $5 for one-man show tip. I mean, extra $17. Look at that. I could buy Mike Marr a few more tins of the Zins.
Congratulations.
With that sort of money. I believe our good friend Kevin McCarthy is joining us. Kevin.
Hi, Rick.
Kevin, it's just you and me, my friend. You, me, and the boys behind the glass.
I honestly don't remember the last time I called in. It was just you and me, or just me and like JP. I don't think it's ever happened.
I'm pretty sure it's never happened in almost 30 years.
How did you get the gig of just the one guy?
I'll tell you exactly how. JP and I were doing a week of two-man shows, and he woke up ill, like so ill that he couldn't even like call Drab or Valdez and tell them he was sick. His wife did, so he just had to sit this one out.
When his wife called, did she say, JP?
she probably didn't. I would guess she didn't do it in your certain way that you do it, that people love so much.
I hope that she says JP around the house like that. I really hope that that's happening around the Flame household.
I hope she does. Kevin, tell us what to go see at the movies this weekend. What do you have on deck? And Valdez is, I think he's almost all the way through Squid Game Season 2. Have you dabbled in Squid Game Season 2 yet on Netflix?
I've seen it. It's Netflix. Yeah, I've seen it. It's really good. I mean, obviously, I won't give anything away, but this is, you know, clearly a part one of two in terms of a season, because Season 3 is going to drop, I think, sometime this summer. I haven't seen the official release date yet for it, but I mean, if you've seen season two, you obviously know that there's more coming. But season one obviously was a, you know, the most watched series ever in Netflix history. And so there's been a want for this, and this has been 3 years. And, you know, so for people who haven't seen the first Squid Game, essentially these characters are thrown into a life or death situation where they're playing like childhood games, essentially, for money. And it's a moral aspect of, you know, would you do it? Would you not do it? Do you need the money? That, you know, is your life better on the outside world or in the game? It's just a really interesting a mirror to society in certain aspects.
Hey, so, Kevin, we talked about this earlier. I hope you come down on Team Cakes here. When you're watching Squid Game, do you watch it with the subtitles and they're speaking in the native tongue Korean, or do you have it dubbed into English as you're watching?
Oh, subtitles, no question. Yes, I think
you're my guy.
I want to hear the actual language because I want to hear the characters speaking. And I always found dubbing to sound, it sounds like ridiculous.
Nubbing.
I
mean,
I haven't seen the dubbed version of Squid Game, but every time I've watched dubbed versions of anything, it ruins it for me. And I actually find, dude, I watched Inception again last night and for the first time in a long time, and I put subtitles on for that. I know it's an English, an American film, but I actually like reading. I don't know. It keeps me more focused to read the dialogue now.
Must have had trouble falling asleep if you put Inception
on. By the way, Inception, for me, Inception, it ends with, isn't there like a helicopter that comes in like in the first few minutes of the movie?
You mean the ending of the film is the spinning totem, is like the totem is spinning at the end. You don't know if it's a dream or reality.
Now, for me, it ended when the helicopter, I think, flew in like in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
You haven't seen past that?
That's correct. Yes.
Oh my! What, Case? What are you doing?
I'm just telling you.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
I'm just telling you that's where I'm at. That's where I paused Inception.
I feel like the Junkies show collectively just sleeps on Christopher Nolan, the greatest filmmaker working today. I mean, it's like it's insane to me that you did not make it past 5-10 minutes into Inception.
That's
wild.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Well, by the way, this weekend, 30 years ago, David Fincher released a little film called Seven, which obviously has stood the test of time with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman and Kevin Spacey. And it's really, you know, it's a film that I remember seeing when I was younger, and it really had seeing that film at a young age. What's brilliant about Seven, and the reason I'm mentioning it is because it's in theaters again this weekend for a 30th anniversary. They're doing like an IMAX release of it. David Fincher restored it.
How old were you when you saw it the first time?
I think I was 12.
Ooh, that's a dark movie for a 12-year-old to be seeing.
Yeah, and if you watch Seven closely, which I find really interesting about it psychologically years later, is if you think about it, you never see any of the killings happen. It's all post the murders, and then it's the dialogue about what happened, like especially the lust one. I remember being like, so it's just the way it's described is so graphic that what you imagine as an audience member is more disturbing than what they could show you, because your imagination runs wild with the visual of it, which I think is even more disturbing. And I think for a filmmaker to make a movie like that about a serial killer and not show the actual murders, it's just a great storytelling tool. I mean, Zodiac was another movie he did later on in his career about another serial killer, obviously a real life, and that was a phenomenal film as well. So that movie's out in theaters this weekend. If you haven't ever seen it, or if you haven't seen it in theaters, it's obviously one of the greatest movies ever made. And it's a film that I haven't seen in full in years because it disturbed me so deeply when I saw it when I was younger, that I've never really fully returned to it, but I kind of want to see it in a theater for the first time. So we'll see.
So anything else big out in theaters getting released this weekend, or is it a light weekend at the theaters?
Yeah, that's kind of like the bigger one of the weekend, but like the Golden Globes are Sunday. So I was just going to run through some of my favorite films of the year that I would catch up on if you have a chance.
All right.
Anora is obviously that I've spoken about Anora on the show a few times. This is about a sex worker who marries the son of a Russian oligarch, and the Russian family finds out about the marriage and flies over to America to try to have it annulled. And it's like this intense, weirdly comedic insane film. Mikey Madison is the star, and she's one of the front runners for Best Actress right now at the Oscars. So that's a highly recommend seeing that. It's available on demand at home. And for people with, like, you know, a lot of the questions now about streaming are like, there's a lot of confusion about streaming now. And when a movie comes on demand, that means, especially in this case, it's in theaters still, like Wicked right now. You can watch Wicked at home, but it's a premium because the movie's still in theaters. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay to either buy it or rent it. So you can look on your Amazon Prime Amazon or Apple TV. So that's one option. The Substance is another option with Demi Moore, Margaret Qualley, incredible film. That's going to be a huge contender at the Golden Globes. It's a body horror film, very brutal. But it's a film where Demi Moore plays an actress, who is quote unquote past her prime, and essentially is not getting the roles that she wants to get anymore. And so she takes this substance that helps divide herself into a younger version. And it's this really interesting play on kind of how Hollywood treats actresses as they get older in Hollywood, which is a really interesting thematic to deal with anyways, because it is a thing that happens. Demi Moore, I think, dealt with it herself as she was getting older, the roles changed. And it's a really interesting way to play with that theme, but also kind of make it entertaining as well. That's one option. The Brutalist is another big movie that is in theaters next weekend with Adrian Brody. That's going to be a big one this weekend at the Oscar, at the Golden Globes. A couple other movies, A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan movie that's in theaters now, phenomenal. Timothy Chalamet, best performance I've seen in a long time, incredible. He literally plays all of Dylan's music live and sings it live, and it's wild. And that was on my list for the year. Strange Darling is another big movie that I had on my list for the top five films of the year as well. So it was a great year for cinema. I love Deadpool Wolverine. Deadpool Wolverine is nominated for a cinematic, like a box office cinematic award, which I find interesting. And I said this in the show before, but I think that comedies and action and horror deserve to be more in play in these major awards over the years. I mean, I feel like people have a concept of what they consider to be an Oscar film. There's a certain drama style film that is generally is nominated for Academy Awards. But then you have these major box office hits like Deadpool Wolverine, where everyone went and saw it. Everyone really enjoyed it from what I've heard and the comedy and the aspect of it. But, you know, it doesn't have any play in the major awards, and I think it deserves it. I think it's a film that has a lot of emotions and heartfelt drama to it, and it's a redemption story for the Wolverine. But because they're wearing, you know, superhero outfits and there's R-rated language, it's not considered to be, you know, good quality in terms of like what an Oscar film would be. And I find that frustrating. So that's another big one that I would recommend seeing this weekend as well.
All right, Kevin, your time is running short. Before you go, give us just an off the top of your head movie that people sleep on, aside from me on Inception, obviously.
All right, I'm going to do a Christopher Nolan movie called The Prestige. Which is it's a magician film with Hugh Jackman, yeah, Christian Bale, and Scarlett Johansson. It came out the same year as The Illusionist. There were two magic films like back to back, basically. But it's one of his most underrated films, and it's brilliant. I mean, I think Chris Nolan is the greatest filmmaker working today. Obviously, Oppenheimer was a major film. His new movie that he's making now is called The Odyssey, based on the Homer story as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But yeah, The Prestige is the movie people sleep on for sure.
All right, Papa time. I will talk to you again soon. And hopefully the next time there's going to be more than one junkie in the studio. It's not just you and
sounds
me.
Good. And it sounds good. And Happy New Year to you and to Amy and to the whole family.
Same to you and your family, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. That's Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5. Time now for the injury report presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. The Commanders might be getting a big pre-playoff boost. Austin Eckler has been a full participant at practice all week and might make his return this Sunday against the Cowboys, albeit in a limited capacity. Eckler has not played since suffering a concussion against the Cowboys the last time they played. The Centers for Advanced Orthopedics, more physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com for all of your details. All right, boys, I think we made it. I think we got to the end of the, I think this is a date that will live in infamy. January 3rd, 2025, the first ever Junks one-man show with, of course, tons of help from the boys behind the glass. So thank you, thank you.
Good job, Case.
Thank you.
I think you're
great work. MVP right there.
Thank
MVP.
You. Thank you. And if you'd like to tip me at John-Alville on Venmo.
Yeah, tip him.
Why not? Why wouldn't I take just a few extra digital Venmo bucks?
I think we got an early front runner for Junkie of the Year.
Ooh, we're doing a Junkie of the Year in 2025. Let's do it. Let's make it a thing.
The other guy's got some ground to make up.
Yeah, I think they might. That's a very good point. Let's all hope JP is good. He was ill. That's the reason there's a one-man show today. He wasn't able to make it in. This was certainly not planned. But thank you again also to the callers as well. Some good calls sprinkled in. Maybe they're in the running for Call of the Year 2025. Signing off, B. Mitch and Finley. They're coming up next here on 106.7 The Fan. See ya.